All right, good morning. Good morning. Now, are you all familiar with the so-called self-help or self-improvement industry? Very familiar? Okay. You know, things like motivational talks, self-improvement seminars, you know, those 12-week courses or coaching programs, right? Now, last year in 2025, that was a $50 billion industry. No, I don't know what that means. Anything above a million doesn't mean anything to people, honestly. All right, it's a lot of money. Now, you may or may not have any personal experience with this industry, but what's not to be denied is that people all over the world tend to, well, very often feel there's this emptiness inside, right? There is something that needs improvement. That's just a normal human experience. And if there's a guru, if there's a teacher who claims to be able to teach you something, right, to fulfill your emptiness, then you would be willing to pay for it. That's how things work, and that's how that industry works. And you know, just say you feel like you're not losing weight enough, then, you know, there's a person who looks great and claims that, hey, just pay for this 12-week course, you'll look like me, you'll be willing to pay. Or your career feels stuck, and there's a successful person who claims that, hey, here's a 4-week course, then you would pay for it. Now, but here's the thing, though. People who engage with this industry, many, many people, after a while, feel cheated. Right? That's a very common experience, and there's actually a section of the self-help industry that's helping people recover from the industry, right? It's a very big thing. Now, why is that, though? Why do people feel cheated after engaging with this industry? Well, there are many, many possible reasons, and I'm not trying to generalize things overtly. You know, perhaps the students aren't just bad students, right? They're not learning well, or perhaps the content being taught is just not good enough. But here's one angle I want to talk about today. There is an infuriating reality that in this industry, there are just many frauds, right? Grifters, charlatans, people out there just trying to trick people into giving them money. And they just have a way of, you know, they're all charismatic, they had a way of repackaging garbage to make it sound good, to trick people into paying them money. And after people see through their fraud, they've already signed up for the course, and it's of course non-refundable, right? And I mean, you could probably think of online influencers who fit this bill, right? Now, this is not at all a modern phenomenon, because back in the days, in Paul's time, the Greeks had no shortage of this sort of grifters. Now, historians told us that during Paul's time, in the Greek culture, you know, the Greeks were all about philosophy, right? And they had a lot of traveling philosophers who would go from town to town, basically giving people TED Talks. And people would be interested in hearing them teach about different subjects to improve upon their lives. So that was, you know, a pretty big industry back then. Now, but then those teachers, they didn't have the best reputations. Again, historians told us that people generally knew that there were a lot of frauds. There were a lot of grifters who were out there tricking people. And what they would do is that they would flatter people. They would say things that people wanted to hear. And people would want to hear that more, so they would pay more. But after a while, people would still feel empty. And of course, because it's just repackaged garbage, right? And then after people figured out that what they're teaching is useless, those people, they just travel to a different city and never to be seen again. So the Thessalonians, a very big Greek port city, they would have been very familiar with those grifters, and they would have been very familiar with this experience of feeling cheated and just unable to find that grifter to, you know, hold them accountable. And considering how Paul went through that city, it's not surprising that people would think, well, was Paul one of those grifters, right? And certainly those opposing Jews, those who opposed Christianity, they would have accused Paul as being one of those grifters. So in this passage, Paul is addressing this accusation. Okay, Paul is defending his ministry against such accusations. And so in verse 1, he makes a plain statement. Verse 1, he says, "You guys know that our coming to you was not in vain." Not in vain. Again, the word vain means emptiness, right? Paul is saying, our coming to you, it was not empty. What we brought to you was not empty talk, and you were not left being empty. You were indeed changed. And then from verses 2 to 12, he began to unpack what it means that his ministry there was not just empty work. So the grifter mechanism, that's kind of in the background of this passage. So we'll be jumping around in these verses to make sense of his argument. Now, but first, Paul points out a fundamental difference between himself and those grifters, okay? He's like, you know, those grifters, they were working for themselves, right? They were doing some work to the people, and they're expecting that those people would give them something in return. But we're not like that, okay? We are working for God. We are here as his messengers. And verse 4 is the key verse, if you will, right? He says, God entrusted us with his gospel message. We're here on his behalf. And that message, according to verse 12, is to call people into his own kingdom and glory. So we're not calling people into our kingdom or our glory. We're calling people to God's kingdom and his glory. So then he further unpacks this idea. Verse 3, he's like, hey, if we were simply, you know, giving you empty talk in order to fulfill our greed, then we would have laid low at the first sign of trouble, right? We would not have suffered for our message in Philippi, but you knew that we suffered in Philippi for our message. If we were just grifters, we wouldn't risk our lives like that, right? That would be silly. But we did suffer for what we preached. So that should at least prove to you that we're not here to trick you for our own benefits. We're obeying our boss. We're trying to please him. All right? So our boldness should tell you something different about ourselves compared to those grifters. We are here to serve our boss. And here's more proof. Okay, verse 5, we didn't flatter you. Okay, we didn't flatter you to try to get your money. We didn't even ask you for money. Verse 9, you remember when we were there, we worked with our own hands to provide for ourselves. Yeah? And verse 6, we didn't ask you to glorify our names or to honor our names. All right? We didn't ask you to like, subscribe, share, or turn on notification. Right? We didn't ask you to elevate our platform. We could have done that. We were apostles, but we didn't. And that's because, again, we are messengers of God. We're here to give you what we received, not receiving anything from you. And as gospel messengers, we embodied that gospel goodness towards you. Verse 7, here's the illustration. Okay, we were gentle towards you. We were like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, not just sharing the message with you, but also sharing our own selves with you, trying to fulfill your needs without expecting anything in return. All right, so in this chart, all the arrows are pointing towards you, never pointing toward us. Okay, that's what Paul is arguing about. Like, we're for you. We never try to receive anything from you. And verse 10, our conduct among you was righteous and blameless. You know, those grifters, they were known for being manipulative, okay, using questionable behaviors to exploit their followers. But Paul is like, our conduct was righteous. We're righteous towards you. We didn't try to control you or to take advantage of you. All right, so we're at verse 10, right? Now, up until this point, Paul's arguments has been focusing on himself. All right, he's unashamedly asking people to look at himself. It's like, look at how bold we are, how self-giving we are, how blameless we are towards you. Now, if you just read those verses, you might feel like he's a little, you know, self-absorbed, right? It's like everything is about himself. Look at me, look at me, look at me. But in the last few verses, his self-defense takes an important turn. Okay, let's notice that turn. Starting in verse 11, he uses another analogy, this time the analogy of a father. He's like, we did act as a father figure towards you. Okay, we were exhorting you and charging you to live a certain way. We did present ourselves as your teacher in that sense, but we didn't try to teach you in order to control you and to own you. Okay, we didn't call you to follow us or to subscribe to us. No, we were calling you to follow God. All right, we were calling you to follow God. Listen to him. That's our charge towards you. And verse 13, you did receive that word as God's word, not our own words. And that word indeed worked in you and changed you. So that connection we were here to make, that connection was made. And then Paul is like, that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was accomplished among you. Okay, so toward the last few verses, did you see the move that Paul made? Okay, I would call it, he was getting out of the way. He was getting out of the way. That's what good messengers do, right? See, earlier he did talk a lot about himself, right? Defending his integrity and all that. But that's not because he wants to make everything about himself. It's because he wanted people to trust the message that they received through him, right? And after he's connected other people to God, he gets out of the way. Now, here's perhaps a helpful analogy, okay? I'm gonna start drawing on here. All right, so the analogy is the messenger, a good messenger is like a window. A window through which people can see the beautiful landscape outside, okay? And as a good messenger, Paul is being all transparent. So at first, he's like, hey, look at me, inspect me, look at this window pane, inspect my integrity, my conduct, my love towards you, my finances, my speech, my demeanors, and all that. Examine me carefully and see my transparency. All right? But know that the transparency, that's not the point. You're not supposed to keep focusing on this window pane. Rather, I ask you to inspect me so that you can know that you can trust the image you see through me, all right? You can trust that I'm not distorting or twisting the path of light that's shining through me. And again, the whole point of emphasizing his transparency and his integrity is so that he can get out of the way. Now, not out of the line of sight, but out of focus, so that people can see God clearly and be filled by his kingdom goodness. Okay, so this is the picture of the gospel ministry that is not in vain. It is not in vain, it is not empty, because the message is not merely well-packaged human trickery. Okay, it's the message that can actually fill up people's emptiness. Also, it is not in vain because people are not exploited to serve human preachers' personal gain. Rather, they are called to serve God, who, unlike any of the gurus, he can actually bless his followers with his kingdom glory and satisfy their longings. And for this ministry to work, transparent messengers are vitally important. Okay, now, that's what this passage is about. Now let's try to apply this picture to our lives. Okay, now let's start from the very beginning. Now we all sense that there is something empty about ourselves, and we would have that desire to go out there and find help to fulfill that emptiness in our lives. And we might turn to self-help industry for that. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong about that because we do need help. And that industry is not all bad. All right? There are some really good teachers and good content that we do benefit from. However, the ultimate reality is that no matter how good that guru is, no matter how good the content is, no matter how helpful that industry it is towards you, it's never good enough, right? What's working will not last long enough for you because we are created for eternal satisfaction. And only God can satisfy human beings. So in that sense, yes, the self-help industry might be helpful to some degree, but the only life improvement course that can truly satisfy us is the gospel message of Jesus. Okay, this teaching is the only thing that can ultimately satisfy human emptiness. And at this juncture in human history, God has made that message available to all people. And he wants people to receive it so as to be filled. And then after people are fulfilled, they are to pass that message along to more people so that God can be further glorified in the world. That's what God is all about at this moment in time. And as Christians, we have received that message. And we are to continue to receive that message to be more and more transformed by it. And we are to preach that message to anybody who is within our sphere of influence. That's not just a pastor's job to pass on this message. We are all called to convey that message one way or another. So this is the same concept that we talked about half a month ago, right? When we were in chapter 1, I pointed out that God seems to insist on using human agents, us Christians, to propagate his kingdom growth, right? So today, let's talk about how to do this well. How to do this well. And let's think in the categories of the grifters versus a good gospel messenger. Now, like I said, we are at the same time on the receiving end of the gospel. We are to be continually transformed by it, and we are called also to be on the giving end of the gospel message to other people. So let's first start with us being on the receiving end. Okay. Now, after we've received the gospel, the learning never stops. Okay. There's always more. And we are to grow in that gospel message continually as long as we live, even throughout eternity. So, as students, we still receive that message through other people. God still uses other people to teach us. We still use other people as our window panes, if you will, to receive the gospel message. You know, apostles, teachers, pastors, and all that. And today's passage reminds us that we must carefully inspect those teachers and pastors, right? Examine the window panes through which we receive the gospel. Now, that's not disrespectful, okay? I know in the pan-Chinese culture, examining your superior officers or, you know, people above you, that could be considered disrespectful. But no, it's not disrespectful. That's just being responsible. Right? Those teachers should actually welcome the scrutiny like Paul was. Right? Because those teachers, they should be all about being transparent, not distorting the image of God they are called to convey. So they should be welcoming your examination. And I point this out because, you know, there are indeed a lot of grifters out there, you know, pastors and preachers who pretend to be faithful messengers, but are actually working for personal gains. And so don't be dazzled by their lofty speech and flattery, and don't get duped by their manipulation. You know, those teachers, again, they are supposed to be righteous and blameless. They are supposed to reflect God's character toward people. So if they don't smell like the Jesus you see in the Bible, don't trust them. Right. And again, because there are a lot of bad actors out there in Christian circles, So we need to be aware of that and be careful. But on the flip side, because there are a lot of bad actors out there, let's also be careful not to become too cynical. Because, well, I mean, it's understandable that if you've been a Christian long enough and you've seen enough hypocrisy among Christian leaders, it's easy for us to become disillusioned about the church and the whole Christian faith. But we must remember that those hypocrites that you unfortunately get to meet, they are just window panes. Okay? A dirty and crooked window pane does not change the essence of the landscape out there. Right? The landscape out there is still beautiful. What we need to do is just to, you know, throw out the bad window panes and get better ones, right? Now, that's us on the receiving end. Let's move on to talk about us being on the giving end when we serve as window panes for other people. Now, at this layer, let's remember to avoid two extremes. Now, one is, let's not downplay our importance. Okay, because our work is of eternal significance. But at the same time, let's also not take ourselves too seriously. We need to remember to get out of the way. Okay, let's start with the first one. Remember, God insists on using us human beings to pass along his kingdom goodness. We're all in this, whether we know it or we like it or not. God is using us one way or another to affect people around us. So we're not dispensable in this mission. Our works in living out the gospel to others, for others to see, our work in giving away ourselves to show them Jesus, that work is quite literally shaping eternity. Okay, so our work matters. Our integrity matters. It's worth giving it our best effort and to pursue selflessness and blamelessness and all that. And we work hard because we know that our work, it might matter for somebody else's eternal destiny. Okay, so let's not be willy-nilly about it. But at the same time, it's not ultimately about us. Right? The point of working hard is not to make sure that people know how good we are. Right? The point of working hard is so that we can get out of the way so that they know how good God is. So if we, you know, after working so hard, if we keep feeling the urge to call people to look at us, to notice our talents, or want people to always come to us for help or for our advice, then we might be taking ourselves too seriously. All right? We might not be transparent enough. We might not be getting out of the way soon enough. So, you know, we are messengers, right? And we as messengers, our joy will not be found in people elevating and glorifying us, you know, clapping for us. You know, that's not our role, so we won't be happy being up there. As messengers, our joy will be found in getting out of the way. And just seeing people enjoying God and glorifying God because of what we did. That's where we would be joyful and feel fulfilled. So may God help us to live for him as his gospel messengers, which, you know, we all are. We all are. Now we have a lot of time. It's a shorter sermon. Let's stand, let's sing a song we learned this morning again. And let's pray to God again to bless our ministry for him.